The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Don't miss Monday Night Football with Peyton and Eli. ESPN 2 tonight, 8 Eastern, breaking down Lions-Packers from their basements. With a special attention, of course, paid to the quarterbacks, Jared Goff and Aaron Rodgers. Monday Night Football coverage is also available on ESPN and the ESPN app. All right, Dan Orlovsky, Kyler Murray, I don't have adjectives for this, do you?
Greedy, you think I do? You think the dude who ran 6'2 in the 40 does? No, I don't have you know, admirable, you know. This guy does stuff that, like, I sometimes would have envisioned myself doing or didn't on a video game in NCAA football, but I never, ever thought that I would ever
we're also getting to the point where we first started to see Lamar. Lamar started to do some things that we'd never seen. You go back to the play against the Tennessee Titans, then now yesterday to Rondale Moore. He's on a different level of playmaking from the quarterback position.
Yeah. And it's one of those moments. Remember in the preseason, he's like, I don't want to play preseason football. And I was like, Kyler, you should play preseason football.
Nope, you good. Hey, they ain't coaching that anyway. You go right ahead.
Hey, that's that red gun offense or whatever they call it. It's
hey,
Kyler
man, it's
Murray.
Ten, what do you want me to do? Yeah. Make a play.
Yeah. Be you.
We are Get Up. We're coming to you live from the Seaport. We are brought to you by Chase, and we are jam-packed. Cindy, hit it. Let's go. Big hour on the way. We're getting up for the Super Sunday in the NFL. And if you missed the very end, you missed the best part. We'll start with an incredible finish in Baltimore. You got to see it to believe it. Then, how about them Cowboys? An unexpected formula travels west for a thriller that comes down to one last kick. And as the time comes for the move, the Midway has been waiting for. You'll hear from their coach and from ours as we get up with you starting right now. And we begin at the end of a thrilling Sunday. The night was spectacular. The stars were out in Baltimore. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, the former MVPs, ready to go. Third quarter, Chiefs up 4. It's Mahomes and Dan, that's Byron Pringle.
You know what the Ravens did in the first half? They didn't pressure and it worked. They come out in the second half and they pressure. Pringle's uncovered. Patrick finds him, runs down the left sideline. Quick touchdown for the Chiefs.
Chiefs up 11, but then it's Lamar Jackson. How about the hop?
I mean, unbelievable. He does the Patrick Mahomes, essentially. It's 3rd and 4. He feels pressure on the outside, so he climbs the pocket. Imagine how athletic you have to be to jump in the air, keep your eyes downfield, and still have a strong enough arm to throw it 30 yards downfield to Hollywood Brown. Incredible by number 8.
RC, let's then watch a little more on the ensuing Chiefs possession in a 4-point game. This is Mahomes to Kelce.
Listen, we see this all the time for these guys, and I think we take it for granted. He's rolling to his right. He hit Travis Kelce, and watch this run into the end zone. He's elusive. He shows speed, but then the power to get in. Travis Kelce is one of the best to ever do it, and along with Mahomes, it's a duel that's unmatched.
Chiefs up 11 again, and now they got the ball back, and they got a chance to put it away, but here's a mistake.
It's an outstanding play by this defense, and you're right, Greeny, it's a mistake. One that Patrick Mahomes often gets away with.
Yes, exactly.
They hang out for him. He's trying to find Kelce. Gets reckless with the football. Tavon Young right there for the interception.
It's his first interception he's ever thrown in September. Meanwhile, Rex, the Ravens, start of the fourth quarter, Lamar Jackson from the one.
Yeah, are you kidding? Who else do you think is going to carry it? That big, huge 300-pound fullback? Lamar, I mean, everybody tried to cover this guy. That's it.
Ravens cut it to 35-30. They go for the 2 and don't get it. Now they're back on the 1-yard line and they do it again.
Well, who do you think's going to carry it?
Give it to Ricard, for goodness sake.
Lamar Jackson. And, like, how does he do that flip there and not land on his head?
And they go for the 2 again and don't get it. So the Ravens are up only 1 ensuing Chiefs drive. It's Mahomes. It's Kelce. They're in business.
Yeah, and I'm already writing the headline for Monday morning. Here we go. Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes get completion, lead the Chiefs down to a comeback kick, a game-winning field.
What you left out was this, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and they lose the ball. And
there's that little right-hand punch. This is what I have to do to some people when they talk loose to me, Greedy. Get that little punch in there right there.
Fumble. I hear you,
That would set up this. The Ravens, a 4th and 1 at their own 44. They need to run the clock out. You see John Harbaugh. Lamar, you want to go for this? Rex, what was the answer?
Heck yes, Brady.
And go for it, they do. Say goodnight, Lamar. Lamar Jackson with an enormous win. He ran for 107 yards and two touchdowns. Mahomes threw for 343, but the Ravens get the win. Hey, John Harbaugh, any doubt on that 4th-and-1?
No, there wasn't, but I wanted to be sure myself, you know. I knew he was going to say yes, so. But we were going for it at that point.
Would there have been a doubt if it was any other player or quarterback, if you didn't have Lamar?
Well, Mahomes, I bet they're going for it too with Patrick Mahomes. How about that?
Yeah, it feel good. You know, it feel good to get that monkey off our back. It just feel good, you know. Got to move on to Detroit now. You know, we ain't win the Super Bowl yet. It's just one game. We just got to keep staying focused.
Wow, the right call was an easy one to make. I mean, Rex was joking about who you're going to give it to. Lamar was averaging 6.7 yards a carry last night in his career on 3rd or 4th and 1 situations. Lamar rushed for a first down 85% of the time. So is it the easy call to make there? You also have to factor in who it is they're playing against, Rex, and that might be the single biggest factor in going for it on that 4th.
Yeah, down. Absolutely. And the fact you don't have the 2000 Raven defense right now. You're beat up. You have a ton of injuries. Look, I thought they played well defensively, but this is an easy call. Trust me, it's easy. And you're right, Greeny. It's because they got Patrick Mahomes over there.
Yeah.
No way. You're going to lose the game. If you punt the football, you're going to lose the game. The people in the stands might as well walk out. It's a home game. You might as well walk out. You're going to get beat.
Beat the traffic.
To me, absolutely, it's going to happen. But Lamar, are you kidding? He's the best weapon. We just saw 85% of the time he converts on that. They hadn't stopped them all night. You thought they were going to stop them there with the game on the line? No way.
And you heard John Harbaugh say, yeah, if they had Patrick Mahomes, they'd probably do it. And what was your reaction to that?
Hell, they did it with Chad Henne. What you mean? It's freaking Andy Reid. Absolutely. You know what, though? I watched this game, and I know people watch our Monday night show, right? And they see this little quirky dude that went to BYU. Lamar Jackson is like Steve Young, right? And Steve Young wore number 8. And if you remember when they beat the Chargers in the Super Bowl, Steve Young turned around and he got the metaphorical monkey off of his back. Yeah. Lamar Jackson talked about that last night, but we manufacture that. That wasn't what Lamar Jackson has to do. Lamar Jackson has to take this team to a Super Bowl, and he understood that. He didn't celebrate, right? He wasn't jumping around at the post-game press conference. He said, you know what? It's on to Detroit. And that's the type of confidence, that's the type of focus that you need to have. But last night, Lamar Jackson won this game his way. It wasn't John Harbaugh making the 4th-and-1 call. Defense ain't do nothing other than punch the ball out that one time. Lamar Jackson won this game being the best Lamar Jackson he could possibly be, and we have to give him credit.
Your vantage point matters. You know, Harbaugh does see Lamar through the lens of the MVP goggles. Right. We oftentimes, or outside people, see Lamar through the goggles of what can't you do?
Yes.
Or what haven't you done?
Yeah.
And since the moment they've drafted Lamar, they've seen him through that lens. Mm-hmm. The most impressive aspect of it for me, game-wise, was one, they had no business winning this football game. I thought it would be a blowout. The only reason they do, Lamar was the best player on the field. And then the second thing is the mental resolve out of Lamar was really impressive for me. We've watched Lamar be incredible with his performances. This game started ugly. We're in a group text, and I'm going, he's trying to do too much. Two interceptions in the first quarter, pick 6.
Yep.
But his ability to stay in the game and understand, I got to get this game to the 4th quarter. He settles down a little bit, starts delivering the ball, and then he gets the game into the 4th quarter. And then when it's necessity to be Superman, he's able
to. Yeah.
And I think that's something that stands out to me as RC is, there's not a lot of quarterbacks that when you need them to be Superman, they can be. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, a lot of guys understand it's the moment.
You know, Dan, let me cut you off, Greeny. Dan mentioned the critiques of Lamar Jackson, right? What was it after his rookie season? Oh, you can't win a playoff game that, right? Yeah. So he had to win the playoff game. Now it's like, well, you can't beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Why? Sure. Because the Kansas City Chiefs have a quarterback who we feel like does quarterbacking in the way you're supposed to quarterback, which is by throwing the football. So Lamar Jackson has done that. He's checking off these imaginary checkpoints that we are giving him, but this is the worst team he ever played the Kansas City Chiefs with. This is the worst roster. The worst roster he's ever had, and he won the game.
And with that thought in mind, Rex, and when Dan says he's trying to do too much, my reaction is he could be forgiven for that because I don't think there's a player in the NFL whose team needs him to do more than the Ravens need Lamar to do in order to win. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. When you look at it right here, this team has been able to win on defense. But right now, with the injuries they got, they're not beating Kansas City with that defense alone. So, you know, some opponents, that defense is going to be up to the challenge. You're going to be able to do it. But here's the thing is, you guys talked about it. Look, this guy was the MVP of the league. Do you think they give that award out to just anybody?
Right, exactly.
Like,
no
this
doubt.
Dude
exactly.
is so special, and I don't care. The thing is, Greeny, the reason there's hesitation, because we've never seen it before. It looks different.
But we know he was the MVP.
Absolutely.
But there is still the outside perception of him of, well, is he as accurate as a thrower as Tom Brady? No.
Oh, no.
He don't need to be.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And he can do so many different things, and it was on display. I mean, we kind of watched it a little bit. The Chiefs defense knew who was getting the ball.
Yeah.
But
right.
It still didn't matter.
No.
Here's the one thing, though, is that this was the year, well, J.K. Dobbins was going to take some of the pressure. Rashad Bateman was. Mm-hmm. And they're all dropping in front of him like flies. Is this sustainable? When you need one guy to do this much, can that work in a conference that is loaded?
No, I don't think it can. I think he will need help eventually, but I do believe that he can carry them to a point where you get all of those guys back healthy and you have a chance.
Carry them is the big thing. Like, this is one of those games where, as a quarterback, you bring to your organization, because the question is, when you choose to pay somebody, because he's in a contract year, X amount of dollars, can he carry our team when it's depleted in talent? There's not a lot of guys in the NFL who you can answer that resoundingly as a
And the other piece is,
this is one of those games.
It's about who your opponent is. Your opponent provides perspective, and you're facing Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, and you do this without your guys.
How many guys have a better record than Lamar Jackson as a quarterback?
Not many.
Not
Patrick
many.
Mahomes.
I can tell you that. Can he carry the team? He could carry the team.
If the Ravens had lost this game 31-14, I would have come in today and said, you know what? They should have. They're so depleted.
Right.
The fact that they win it is incredible.
Look, it's a long season. If he gets this team into the playoffs, I think Lamar Jackson has a real shot to be the MVP again.
Yep.
All right, as we continue in a moment, how about them Cowboys? An unexpected formula travels west for a thriller that came down to the final kick. We're all over it next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and what a thriller this was in L.A. yesterday. The star quarterbacks, Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert, ready to go. Pick it up in the first quarter, Dallas up 7-3, and Tony Pollard emerging.
Yeah, he's offered a little bit of explosion to this offense, specifically as a pass catcher, Greeny. And then this one, the right side of the offensive line, just completely denting that defensive line for the Chargers in the run game.
Zeke's first touchdown of the year, 14-3 Cowboys. Now to the third, tied at 14, Chargers in the red zone. This is Justin Herbert, and it looks like he makes the big mistake.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a miscommunication between the slot receiver. Keenan Allen on the outside falls down, but that's still a huge tuner of this secondary.
17-14 now Cowboys, and that's Herbert to Jared Cook. It looks like the Chargers have taken the lead, but hold everything. There's an illegal shift. Is this a good call?
It's the right call, and it's a good call. Listen, I think the officials stink, and I've said that for years. But this is the right penalty by this officiating
player. Well, how about this one on the ensuing play here, RC? Is this the right call? They rule Herbert down.
Hey, Mr. Official, let me tell you something. I'm big, I'm strong, I'm still up, and I'm making the football play. Just because you can't do it doesn't mean that I cannot.
Yep.
I am still playing football. This is a terrible call, and it hurts the Los Angeles Chargers.
Chargers wound up having to settle for a field goal, so we're tied at 17. 2.5 to go. Tied. 3rd and 6. Prescott. Zeke. First down, we're moving. Under a minute to go. Second and five. Prescott, this time for Amari, who gets banged up on the play.
The ball placement is huge, though. It's right on his chest. He can catch, get down from that safety. That's a little bit of a headhunt by RC, and make sure that 10 yards gets added to
crazy
that play.
Crazy sequence to finish it here. Now, this is Pollard with a handoff. I want you to look at the time remaining in the game in the bottom of your screen. It was 30 seconds. They don't
call
a timeout until there are 4 seconds remaining. They play this for Greg Zuerlein to try a 56-yard field goal. To be clear, they did have a timeout remaining. Rex, will get your reaction in a moment to what that man did, but boy, he's going to get skewered if Greg the Leg doesn't have enough for this.
Greg the Leg.
56-yard snap, hold, kick. It's up and it's good. The Cowboys win it 20-17. Herbert can't believe it. Oh, show me Jerry celebrating. I need to see Jerry celebrating. There the Cowboys head west, and they get the win. Okay, so a lot there, Rex. The time winding down. What?
And I've got my Cowboy gear on today and stuff like that. But this is ridiculous, and the comments. Can I say anything about the comments now? Are we going to say it?
No, go ahead. Say it.
All right. First off, it's like one lie leads to another lie.
He lied, too.
And this guy said this, and he couldn't see this. And then the backup right tackle couldn't see it either. Like, it's unbelievable. It's a lie. They mismanaged that so bad. As poised as that whole football team was, the head coach was not in the most crucial time in the game. You have the entire field to use. You have a timeout. And I love it. Well, we got in field goal range. No, you didn't. A 56-yard field goal is not field goal range. I get it. The kid's an amazing guy. But it's the same guy, Ryan. Didn't he miss an extra point and a short field goal last week? So to me, it's like, what in the hell are you doing? That was my first reaction. I'm like, this is crazy.
The confusing part is, though, when you call a run in that type of situation, what's your plan? Yeah. Like what were you thinking for your two plays, right? You call a run, you get back to huddle. They were walking around, milling around. And so it's almost like you want to blame it on Mike McCarthy, but what about the other 52 players or 53 players on the team? What about the other 12 coaches? What about anybody who has any plan that understands what football is? That's terrible by the Cowboys, but they win.
Well, all I can think to myself is if that kick is no good and the Chargers get the ball first in overtime and down Dallas never sees it again. That's all we're talking about today. That said, because they win the game, we can talk about, among other things, an improved Cowboys defense, and you've got to look at it.
There's some things in life that I hate. Any kind of milk, I think, is disgusting. Cooked vegetables is up there. Cilantro's gross. And admitting that Marcus Spears was right is the thing I hate the most. Because Dan Quinn is actually making an impact on this defense. And there were some moments where he kind of tricks Justin Herbert pre-snap, and it pays dividends when it comes to points on the board. Herbert's got to back out to the top of the screen, motions him in. The Cowboys match with the safety. As a quarterback, I'm like, it's man coverage. I'm communicating, changing the play. I'm trying to slip the running back from the right off to left. Dan Quinn showed man at the snap. Zone defenders drop out. Herbert's thinking easy first down. Nope, rallies through the football, takes points off the board. Third and four becomes a field goal. Now you're going to have another example. I'm going to show pressure off the left, top of the screen. Justin Herbert's seeing all that movement going, here comes the blitz. I got a stand-up defensive end. He's going to drop out. He's going to send his whole offensive line to the left thinking, I got a pass progression to my right. Four strong. Psych. The pressure doesn't come. That defensive end is unblocked. Justin Herbert on second and nine has got to get rid of the ball quickly because there's an unblocked defensive end. Second and nine becomes third and 11. That happens because Dan Quinn changed the picture, show and go on Justin Herbert. And so while that defense is getting turnovers and whatnot, I got to give him credit that he is having an impact. And pre-snap on that defense.
And the thing you notice most about that is when that many people are tied into one disguise, that means it was called. Yeah. Right? Like a lot of times, Troy and I would disguise, but it would just be us two. And so if you watch the film enough, you'd know where we're going to go. But if you show that entire picture of pressure to one side and you drop guys out, that's very difficult for a quarterback. That's huge by Dan Quinn and his defensive staff.
And there's another name as we talk about an improved defense here that we should say out loud, and that name is Micah Parsons.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I'm just telling you, when I saw him, like, you know, this is an inside linebacker. Man, that's a waste, that high of a pick. And then it's like, no. They had to move him to defensive end. Guess what? He's never moving back. Just pencil him in as a perennial Pro Bowler as a defensive end.
Wow.
And now that's what I think. This guy's ridiculous. 4.3 speed at that kind of length and things. Are you kidding me? It was unbelievable performance. And do not put him back where he has to cover three receiver hooks. Don't waste him that way.
When I met this kid, he was 18. We were at a camp at Nebraska, and all these other kids are trying to get a scholarship. Clearly, they knew that he was going to get one if he wanted one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We were doing one-on-ones, and he goes, hey, coach, can I play wide receiver? Sure. 50-yard bomb. Hey, coach, can I play corner? Sure. Gets a dude and runs him into the sideline. He can do whatever he wants. But the smart thing that happened here, and like I said, babies and fools. Sometimes God just puts you in the right position.
Uh-huh.
They had to move him to defensive end, and you know what he got to do there? Run and hit. And he was made to run and hit. And he put pressure on Justin Herbert all day, and he was a huge piece as to why this defense was successful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we'll talk more about the Cowboys as we go in this hour. Can I just get one comment on Herbert, though? For a lot of people who might not have seen a lot of Chargers football last year, and you just watched that kid stand in there yesterday.
Well, he can do it.
He is unbelievable.
Yeah. You know me. I can give you a lot more than one comment. I think he's as good an eraser as there is in the NFL, meaning – this is still a football team that asks him to do a lot. They are in second and third and a long, third and long, way too
many
much.
Times.
And for some reason, he's one of those quarterbacks. You go, oh, they're okay. It's third and 13. It's okay. It's third and 13, and I'll throw a 57-yard ball to Keenan Allen on a hole shot. So he's incredibly talented, and he's an amazing eraser with some of the flaws that are still showing up with their football team offensively.
Rex, if you're starting a team right now, taking age into account with these things, everyone would take Patrick Mahomes first. Is he second?
It's either him or Josh Allen. So he's definitely in the top three.
Yeah.
Absolutely in the top three. And here's the amazing thing. Why are we, like, there's some people going to be surprised that this is how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh. Look at last year.
Yeah.
They played without three starting offensive linemen the entire season. Mm-hmm. All he does is win Rookie of the Year. The guy's an amazing player.
Yeah,
do you take him over Josh Allen? I'm not so sure. But I tell you one thing. He won't be there if you're picking four.
All right, let's do – those are some superlatives about him. Let me go through some other Sunday superlatives. A bunch of other games we haven't gotten in yet, but there was good stuff. Rex, what was the most impressive performance of the day to you?
Tennessee Titans. And it's like, what? Are you kidding?
Man.
Yes, the Tennessee Titans. They're down at halftime, 24-9. And you know what? Rabel sat back and said, nah, let's be us. Feed the king. Derrick Henry right there went crazy. 175 yards and almost all at halftime. Like, it was nuts. But that football team never gave up. They could have folded tent, gone home. Just the opposite. And now they're right in the playoff spot where we thought they'd be.
Danny, what was the biggest surprise to you?
The Carolina Panthers are real. First of all, with Sam Darnold, coaching and choices matter. He's got a good coach in Joe Brady right now. He's got choices of what to do with the football.
Mm-hmm.
All the talent they have surrounding him. Sam Darnold is going to play incredibly well this season. But this defensive line in Carolina is the best one that America is not talking about.
Mm.
They've got absolute dudes across their defensive line, and they whooped the Saints up front.
RC, what was the biggest disappointment to you?
It was the Dolphins' defense, and I understand that Tua Tagovailoa wasn't playing, but this team was supposed to be led by this defense. It's supposed to be led by Brian Flores. You go out, you have two of the highest paid corners in football, and when your quarterback goes out, that's when you step up. When we played with Dennis Dixon, when we played with Charlie Batch, we understood that we had to be better that day, and they just were not. And after you watch what the Pittsburgh Steelers did to the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen week one, the Miami Dolphins defense cannot do that.
And week two, by the way, is not quite done yet. We got one more game, and you'll have it tonight right here. The Monday Night Football matchup has the Lions taking on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers at Lambeau. Both teams in search of their first win. It's 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. ESPN2, of course, has Peyton and Eli. Coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6 Eastern. Coming up, it was the most consequential play of week two. Dan Orlovsky breaks down exactly how Lamar Jackson and the Ravens got it done. That's next. Get up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back.
Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Get Up, presented by T-Mobile.
It's go time this year. The fans back in the stadium. I can't wait to get out there.
Jackson, jump pass. Hollywood Brown, he's in. 46-yard catch and run by Kelce. Lamar Jackson, he'll keep it on the read option, and he flips in for the go-ahead touchdown.
Edwards-Helaire
fumbles the ball. The Ravens have recovered.
It is fourth down and one.
I'm like, man, I got to get this first down no matter what.
He's got a gap. He's got a first down. And it is party time in Baltimore.
Ravens get a huge win late last night against Kansas City. They showed some guts with their play calling late in the game last night. What did you see?
One team was ready for the moment, one team wasn't, and one team had a player who wanted to capitalize, and that's Lamar Jackson. When this play went in, I go, okay, Harbaugh's going, Lamar, you want to go for it? You want to go for it? I love Lamar's reaction of course I want to go for it. My first thought was, where's Mark Andrews, the $54 million tight end? So Mark Andrews is to the right there, and I'm looking back watching this play, Greeny. That's the center. I go, wait. That's not the tight end. That's a tackle. Mm. What the Ravens did is they went to offensive tackles all the way over. They took their right tackle, Villanueva, from the right side, bring him to the left. Now let's count the bigs, okay? One, two, three, four. The Ravens have four offensive linemen plus Tomlinson to the left side of the center, right? Greeny, look how the Chiefs are. They're already, they have lost this rep. They've got one defensive lineman from the left side of the guard while the Ravens have all these big bodies right there. Now, they're going to run a traditional quarterback power play. You get double teams. Hey, you guys, you big fellas, you give a double team and you give a double team. We're going to pull this backside guard. Now, this is where number eight is really, really special. I've sat in so many meeting rooms when coaches go, hey, running backs, when we run power, you got to follow that guard, and these running backs will try to bounce the ball outside. Now, look at this moment right here. There's two Kansas City Chiefs on the outside right there. You see the double teams. Now, here's your pulling guard. This is where Lamar, and I know Lamar doesn't like when people say, well, he's just a running back, but you can do both. You could be a great quarterback and a running back. That moment right there, look it. He's got his hand right on that pulling guard going, I'm going to follow the pulling guard with the vision of a cutback lane. Have the vision of the cutback lane right there. It's fourth and one. You hear it all the time. Put your foot in the ground and get north and south. A beautiful design by the Ravens offensive line. We go big fellas over, the double teams, follow your pulling guard, and it's the game over. The Ravens were ready for that moment. The Chiefs weren't, and they had the guy to go execute it.
Really fascinating. I mean, everything from the moment of Harbaugh saying, do you want to do this? That's the first rule.
And then he was like this on the sideline. Yeah. Like, yeah, onions.
Yes, I'm glad you said it. I was thinking it. All right, that worked out very well. Let's go on the clock here. 30 seconds on a variety of different NFL topics. And, Dan, we start with you, and I'm contractually obligated to ask you about Carson Wentz, your thoughts yesterday.
Yeah, the reality was Carson Wentz was playing really good football and gave his football team the chance to win. Now, Aaron Donald has that third and five pull down, and he gets his ankle rolled up. My initial thought is, if you're hurt, I want you on the field. You got to find a way in that moment. You owe it to your organization to go play. If you're injured and it comes out that there's more damage to the ankle, I understand, and your organization did a good job of keeping you out. But I want, and maybe it's my bias of being with Matthew Stafford, if you got a pulse, you're on the field. And I wanted to see him go, nope, I'm going to go back out on the field, and we'll figure it out later.
He said Jacob Eason comes in, throws the interception, and they wind up losing the game. RC, we're next to you. What did you see in the second half from Tennessee yesterday?
The Tennessee Titans remembered who they were. You're a team that runs the football. You're physical. You got King Henry in the backfield. And guess what? Once he gets rolling, people don't want to tackle him. So to the tune of 140-plus yards in the second half, you make a comeback, not by throwing the ball all around the yard, not because you have Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, but because you have a monster in the backfield and you rode him all the way back to the overtime win. This was huge for the Tennessee Titans, a team that had so much promise coming into the season, such high expectations. They don't lose the first two.
Rex, you're next. Let's talk about Zach Wilson, who threw four interceptions for the Jets in his home debut yesterday. How concerned should we be?
Look, don't panic just yet, all right? I had a rookie quarterback that, by the way, threw 5 in 1 game. And that rookie quarterback also helped lead us to an AFC championship game the same exact year. So, look, I got killed for the old red, white, you know, green light and all that kind of jazz. But only put that in if you want to win. Because this kid right now, it's too much for him right now. You don't peg him down the field, like throw all these passes down the field. Why? Make it easy for him initially. And that's how you have to build this guy's confidence. Don't give up on him, Jeff Van Sisch.
That's 100% right. I'm as far from giving up on him as you can possibly be. All you need to do for an example of how you could do this is watch the team on the other side yesterday, who's got a rookie quarterback that they're not asking to do too much. They put so much on Zach Wilson in these first two games. They don't even have a backup quarterback, the Jets. I had to look up who it is, for crying out loud, because they don't even have one. So they weren't taking him out of the game yesterday no matter what. They are putting so much on this rookie, and you juxtapose that with Mac Jones.
I was about to say that.
What are you doing?
Bro, we've done a show for an hour and a half. Greeny has not had this. He was sick when the morning started. This started coming on. My dog drank 4 cups of tea before this segment just so he could give y'all that. God, you were really upset.
Well, it's freaking ridiculous. I mean, and you're going to ruin the kid. I mean, more quarterbacks. I've said it before. Rex is right.
You can't.
Run the football. Ground and pound with a good defense, which is what you theoretically have. You put the rookie out there to just humiliate himself and get booed in his first home game. I put that more on the coaching than on anything else.
But absolutely, if you're a coach, you look in the mirror first. Why did my kid play this poorly? All right? Look, he's the most talented guy that the Jets have had playing the position since Joe Namath.
Right.
So mark it down. I'm telling you, it's the truth. So now, as a coach, you got to look at it. And when I talk about, well, how can we make it easy? It's obviously your play designs, right? Yeah. Look at Belichick. Everybody's raving about this Mac Jones.
Go.
Right.
Raving about Mac Jones.
Yeah.
This is the next Tom Brady. What? No, he's not. No, he's not. But Belichick is a great football coach. He has him throw the ball down the field about, what, 4 yards? He's throwing it 4 yards down the field. But it's building confidence.
The big
confidence.
Difference.
In confidence. And now he's able to throw it down the field later in the game. Let's do it, build it this way.
There's so many differences between these two teams, right? One difference is the New England Patriots are built better around Mac Jones. They can actually win games with Mac Jones playing this way. The New England Patriots have Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels is a guy who has been there and done that. They have a head coach in Bill Belichick, who's been the best head coach in football or in the NFL for the last 2 decades. You have Mike LaFleur. This is a first-time offensive coordinator. You have a first-time head coach. You have guys that are going out and trying to prove that they can win. Their concern isn't about protecting Zach Wilson, but it has to be, because Zach Wilson is the franchise. You actually got a dude who is talented, who can be one of the greats at the position of his era if you do the right things. You don't ruin him. And Dan said something this morning that makes a lot of sense, and I know he's going to bring it back, but he has all this talent. You don't have to make him show it every play. Yeah. You don't have to make him show it every game.
All right, so in regards to Zach Wilson, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to learn when you don't rather than when you do as a quarterback in the NFL.
Right. No question.
And so you can make those throws and you think it all the time. That's not reality of the NFL. Now, to Mac Jones, I would completely disagree that, well, it's not the next Tom Brady. I'm not saying he is, but he's playing exactly the way they want him to. If we're going to get on here and talk about young quarterbacks trying to do too much, he's doing exactly what the Patriots are asking him to do. To beat New England this year, you're going to have to outgrind them. That's just the reality. And that's the style of ball that Bill wants you to do. You're going to have to play 4 clean quarters of football. Because I promise you, number 10 ain't going to give you games for the New England, or when you play against the New England Patriots. He's being decisive. He's going to the right place with the football. He's playing tough. He's being accurate. He's not missing reads. So here's the, that's the truth. And the saying is sometimes laughed at, to beat New England, you're going to have to beat them. You're not going to luck into a win. They're not going to give it to you away. Tom Brady was never known to push the ball downfield till he got Randy Moss. So he's doing exactly what this football team's asking him.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But Bill, the question is not if Bill Belichick's still Bill Belichick. Mm. This dude ain't Tom Brady. I've faced him a million times.
Yeah.
I look at him, I'd beat his tail off if I played against his quarterback. I can guarantee you that.
Hey.
This is not Tom Brady.
I'm not saying
all right? And I know, but you're saying, but it's not like you're defending it and stuff. There's no defense to it because I went against this cat forever. He's the greatest of all time. Yeah, this guy, he doesn't have the arm talent of Tom Brady. Right. And I can also tell you this. Belichick is still the greatest. All right, I get it. But when he never had Tom Brady, I whipped his butt, and I'll whip this kid's butt, too. And that's the fact.
Yeah, Rex, our coach is better than your coach when your player is
Tom Brady.
Give me Tom Brady.
I beat Bill Belichick.
And I would just ask, if you switch the quarterbacks on the two teams yesterday, which one of them throws four interceptions?
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. All right, that's as we continue in a moment, how about them Cowboys? We're going back to that game, an unexpected formula traveling west, a thriller that comes down to the final kick, and one word you absolutely need to hear. You'll hear what that word is as we continue. And, Rex, here we go. Sneaky Hembo is ready for you. Over the last two seasons, which quarterback has lost the most games by three or fewer points? Rex takes his shot next.
I got it.
Get up on ESPN.
I got this one.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You are watching Get Up, presented by T-Mobile. Here we go. It's Rex's favorite part of the show, Sneaky Hembo. Over the last two seasons, meaning last year and the little bit we have from this, which quarterback has lost the most games by three or fewer points?
Look, I'm a punching bag for Hembo. He knows it. He knows exactly who I'm going to say. I'm going to say Justin Herbert, and there's no way it's going to be right. But I'm saying Justin Herbert.
It's so close. He's one away from being right. He's lost four. Kirk Cousins has lost five.
And I told him I had it narrowed down between two guys, Kirk Cousins and Justin Herbert. Oh, yeah. Hembo. See, Grazianzo, you know, he got him on Friday, right?
Right, yes, he did.
They got him on Friday. And I lose every single time. I'm tired of being a punching bag here.
Well, one way or another, it's either him or the New York media. I mean, someone is going to crush it regardless of who it is. Right, let's talk about the Cowboy game from yesterday. They get their first win beating the Chargers on a game-winning 56-yard field goal by Greg Zuerlein. That was necessitated by some very questionable clock management late in the game from Mike McCarthy. Let's get the explanation.
The clock I was watching went off the board. And then, you know, Clark Kellen had, I think he said a camera, he got blocked by a camera guy. So the communication was great from up top. And, you know, and obviously you want to call that timeout between three and four seconds. So.
What? So, what? I mean, Rex, what?
That's a lie.
She texted me.
Okay.
And then there's this new thing with my phone where if we're on the same Wi-Fi network,
it texts it back automatically.
It sends automatic text back. And then she sends another text, and I deleted it, but I can't delete it.
And it still responded
T-Mobile,
to her.
Because T-Mobile and AT&T merged.
Verizon, and so now the messages get all, it's not me, it's the phone.
So we're not buying what he said, Rex?
No chance, no way. But I love it. You know he had to sit back and say, hey, yo, Kellen, hey, when we go in there, they ask.
Yeah.
You got to say you never saw it, too.
But the thing is this, right? So he said the clock I was watching went off.
Yes.
Right? So it just magically vanished. And not a camera. A cameraman was in front of Kellen Moore.
Who
is
Kellen's
he?
On the field.
Is he Andre the freaking Giant, though?
Yeah.
This guy. And so, but the other coaches, none of the other offensive coaches could see this.
They never
saw it.
And
it took
either.
You from the box. It took you 26 seconds from the box to say, hey, Mike, call a timeout. We're about to go into overtime. And this is a great win for the Dallas Cowboys, right?
My goodness.
None of us really expected the defense to play this well against Justin Herbert. There's so many good things that happen. But if they don't win this game, the first thing Greeny does is the Dallas Cowboys were right there, and they had an opportunity to win the game, but they were able to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. How about them Cowboys?
And
go.
The big debacle in clock management.
Like, that's what we would be talking about.
Is like, how are they not on the phones on second and three? Yes. Hey, we got 31 seconds here. Let's run the ball. And if we don't get it, we'll get to the line of scrimmage. And this is our third down play. And if we get it and it's short, we'll call timeout. What was the plan by the coaching
and the huge
staff
part of this,
in the moment? You shouldn't need to see the
Dan showed us how prepared the Dallas Cowboys defense was. And we've been listening to Rex talk about the Gus Bradleys, the Dan Quinn, all of these guys who were former head coaches, right? The type of preparation and delegation that goes into that job they're bringing as defensive coordinators. It hasn't seemed that Mike McCarthy has brought that as a head coach to the Dallas Cowboys.
Can I ask, like right now, he's not the play caller, right?
Kellen Moore's going to be a head coach.
Absolutely. Okay. He's got Dan Quinn to coordinate the defense.
Right.
So what do you do? Number one, you're supposed to motivate your team and handle all these situations.
Right.
All right? And we all, if anybody watched Hard Knocks, I'm like, he ain't motivating nobody to walk across the street. And so now you got to be, you got to sit back, and this is what you do. This is what you do.
Watch the clock.
You're standing there, and don't tell me about this. That's not the only clock. Don't rip Jerry Jones, your owner, by saying there's only one clock in that stadium.
Yeah.
There's a million of them.
Right.
I'm sorry. You got the whole field in it done.
The game was in LA.
I don't even care where it was. There's more than one clock. Okay. Call upstairs to Jerry Jones.
There's one other thing I want you to get into the conversation here, and I think we need to see everyone. Cindy, let's see the faces of all of these gentlemen as I just say one simple word, and the word is taunting.
Get rid of it. Listen, look at RC. This is my take on it, RC, Rex. There's a difference between trash talk and taunting, and John Mara respectfully doesn't know the difference between either of them. You can't ask guys to bust their tails.
Bro.
And the moment comes where they make a play, a big play, and they can't talk a little trash and be excited about their performance. Taunting is a crossing the line disrespect. Trash
Thank you.
What makes sports so special is guy versus guy or girl versus girl, mano a mano, and you get in the moment and you perform better than the other person, and you want to make sure that they know it. And that's okay. That's what makes sports cool. To throw flags on guys because they get up and run their mouth for a little bit is a joke.
And
they got to fix it.
And officials have to understand, the NFL has to understand, that flags change games. Penalties change games. They change momentum. And Dan's talking about the way you work so hard to make a play, you can't even celebrate. You also work hard to win football games. And so if me talking or me being excited about what I've worked the entire week to do finally happens, it's going to cost my team, then you don't want to play the dang game.
Right.
And the targeting penalty and a targeting call in college football was the worst call in football until the NFL did this. This is absolutely an overreaction to a couple of plays in the Super Bowl.
There's a difference between competing and taunting.
Yes.
Competing is the one thing. I don't care what it is. You're going to sit back and say, yeah.
Exactly.
Like, are you kidding?
Like,
there's no disrespect whatsoever. You talked about it right there. You nailed it. Because it's not about disrespect.
Yes.
Right. It's about playing hard and the passion and the emotion of the game. That's what's beautiful about our game.
And the competition of me versus you. And in the moments when you put in the work, who worked hardest during the week and in the moment in the play, and I'm allowed to get up and let you know that I just won.
And guess
that
what? The people making the calls, they ain't never made no plays.
Right.
plays.
But I'll just speak for the fans because I've never made any plays. There's not one fan who was thinking, you know, we need to get that out of the game.
Right. Like,
of all the things going on in football, that's the one thing I just don't want to see anymore. Don't blame the fans for this one because there's not one fan who thinks it's a good idea either. Are you looking for baseball? We got a big one for you coming your way. Our baseball postseason impact matchup, a big one, Jays and Rays. Coverage begins tomorrow night, 7 Eastern, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Following us, as always, it's First Take. Going to be spirited today. Michael Irvin on the program after a big Cowboys win. Other guys, believers in the Cowboy defense. Stephen A., Molly, and Michael. Top of the hour on ESPN.
Yeah.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network. All right, week 2 not done. We got Monday Night Football tonight with Peyton and Eli on ESPN 2-8 Eastern, breaking down Lions and Packers from their basements, with special attention paid to the quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Jared Goff. Monday Night Football coverage also available on ESPN and the ESPN app. And speaking of the game, here are the latest odds. According to our friends at Caesars, Green Bay favored by 11.5. Over-under is 48.5. Green Bay has won 4 straight against Detroit, but 3 of the 4 were decided within 1 score. So, before we make way for Stephen A. and Michael Irvin, our picks here. RC, I'll start with you. Who you got tonight, Lions, Packers?
I'm taking the Green Bay Packers. They're going to get back right. Aaron Rodgers is not going to play like he played last week. This defense will be better. And quite frankly, Detroit's not very good. So I think the Green Bay Packers find a way to win.
Orlovsky, Green Bay or Detroit?
Yeah, the Packers are going to win this football game. I'm going to take them. Although I think it could be close if Jared Goff comes out with an aggressive mindset. Showed a little bit in that comeback last week. Their offensive line should play well. I think this is a tighter game than we expect, but the Packers win.
Rex?
I'm going to take the Lions.
Hmm?
To cover. I mean, no chance on this one right here.
You had me for a second.
I mean, come on. There's no way. But, you know, here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers, after that dismal performance, does he ever have back-to-back?
Not like that.
I don't think so. But I will say this. I truly think the Lions will start biting some kneecaps and battle their tails off.
Well, let's see. I've got Green Bay as well winning the game tonight. But after the disaster that was the Packers' first performance, RC, what do you think the beginning of Get Up tomorrow will sound like if Rodgers goes out and lays an egg again and I open the show tomorrow and the Lions have beaten them?
I came here into this season thinking that Aaron Rodgers was going to be on a scorched earth tour, but he is not. 0-2 to start the season. He was out hanging with actresses and actors. He was around with jungle cats. Yes, I said it, jungle cats. And listen, this is Get Up, but Aaron Rodgers has not been getting down, and so he's going to have to be much better. I would not change my kid's name to Aaron or Rodgers if the Jets picked them up. They would still be Zachary and Wilson with the middle name Sam, because it's hard to let him go. Aaron Rodgers has to play better. This is not scorched earth at all.
All right. That's only the beginning of Get Up tomorrow.
The and then Marcus would be on the
bed. They couldn't protect him. Damn.
And Rex, what will you say from your palatial estate in Nashville tomorrow?
I'll be sitting back saying, Jordan Love, I've been telling you. Jordan Love.
Give me Tom Brady.
I'll whip him too.
Well, it was good to be back and better than ever on this Monday. Thank you for getting up. Thank you for getting up with us. And the fun continues with First Take right now.